I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Honolulu, Hawaii. Come along and join me for a conversation with island author, writer, travel journalist, Robert Kay. Hi.
Hey, Tom, call me Rob.
I was going to Bob or Rob. Rock and roll.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So you've been a travel journalist for quite a long time.
Indeed. I started writing for the San Francisco Chronicle in 75. Did a story. I'd come back from Europe and there was a riot at a hamburger stand at a McDonald's in Stockholm. And that was my first story.
Wow.
For the San Francisco Chronicle Foreign Service.
That's really cool. Then what happened?
Well, then I actually had to work. I got a job in radio.
In San Francisco?
Actually, in a town called Sonora. Following that, I decided I wanted to go to the South Pacific. I ended up getting a bartender job in Tahiti.
How did that work legally as a non-resident?
You know, in those days, they needed somebody with some experience, and I actually did have some experience as a bartender. So they hired me, and I used it as a platform to write articles for the Chronicle and other publications, Pacific News Service, which I don't even know if it exists anymore. But, you know, I used it as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. At the time, the French were testing nuclear weapons still in Mururoa. And I was writing about that, which the French government did not appreciate. And I didn't even know it at the time, but I was being followed and phone calls were tapped, I'm sure, et cetera. But anyway, my adventure in French Polynesia.
But then at some point, you decided to venture further, and you wound up in Fiji.
That's correct. I got back from Tahiti and did some bartending and saved some money and more writing and had the opportunity to be a tour guide in 1979 around the South Pacific, but among the places we stopped was Fiji. And I had sort of an instant rapport with the people, and I realized I need to come back.
What made it resonate with you?
Well, the people there, I just had this kind of chemistry. You know, Tom, you know what it's like. Certain places work, you resonate. And that's what happened for me in Fiji, as opposed to Tahiti. I didn't really work quite as well. So I connected with them at a real visceral level, real heart level. It's not that they're, you know, perfect or, you know, obviously they've got their issues like all of us. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reasons, I got along with them quite well. I vowed after that trip to return, like, you know, Douglas MacArthur. So that's what happened.
Interesting. The other day you were telling me about a town there that reminded you of Lahaina.
Yes, and this is something that occurred to me that Americans might be interested in. You know, we had this terrible tragedy here, you know, with Lahaina burning down, but it reminded me that there's sort of an analog, for lack of a better word, in Fiji. You know, Lahaina being the first capital of Hawaii, there's a town in Fiji called Levuka, which was the first capital of Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were founded by Yankee whalers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there's this sort of deep cultural, I guess you could say, commonality.
How about architecturally? Any residents there?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, even the main drag has the same name, Front Street.
Hmm.
In Levuka, if you go to this town, you can still see 19th century buildings. You know, Lahaina, of course, was a lot more commercialized, got a hell of a lot more tourist traffic. So you had all the obligatory jewelry stores and tourist haunts, this kind of, yeah, exactly. Whereas Levuka, it's a lot more remote. It's not really on the tourist map. Mm-hmm. It should be. Tourism Fiji doesn't really push it that much because there's not that many places to stay. Mm-hmm. There's a few B&Bs. I'm sure they would dedicate more resources to promoting it, but there's not a lot of places to stay, and you have to take a boat to get there. It's not a long trip, you know, maybe an hour and a half on the boat ride kind of thing. But it takes some effort to get there. But, you know, it's still a 19th century town.
That's really cool.
It's so cool.
Okay, so I haven't been to Fiji. I've been to Tahiti many times, but never Fiji. So give me a guided itinerary. You know, where would you fly into?
Okay.
What would be the thing that kind of the must-dos for a first-time visitor?
I'm glad you asked.
And you're the author of a guidebook.
Yeah, I wrote the original Lonely Planet Guide to Fiji.
And it's called Fiji?
It's called Lonely Planet Guide to Fiji. And I'm also the co-author of a book on Suva. It's called Suva, A History and Guide, which was originally written by a colleague of mine, a UH professor, Al Schutz. And Al passed away, and we were updating his book, which was originally written in 79, right? And I said, Al, isn't it about time we update it? He said, yes, okay. So we started updating that. He passed away. So in other words, I'm the co-author of two books. So the Suva History and Guide is available on
Amazon.
And
Suva is a part of Fiji?
Yes, Suva is the current capital of Fiji. Levuka was the first capital.
Is Suva an island or a town?
No,
it's the name of a town?
It's a town.
Okay.
It's located on the main island of Fiji called Viti Levu. So as far as getting back to your question, if you're an international traveler, you would more likely than not fly into Nandi.
Mm-hmm.
Is where the international airport is. From there,
they take off from SFO or Hawaii?
You can get there, you can get there via Hawaii, you get there via SFO, LAX.
Direct flight.
Yeah, correct. Mm-hmm. And I believe Fiji Airways flies out of Seattle or Vancouver as well.
And it's roughly, an eight-hour flight?
It's about, 8 hours from the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Hawaii, maybe 6 hours, something like that.
Yeah. So what do you do when you get there?
So when you get there, Nandi is the international airport.
Name of a town there, too?
Yeah, Nandi is the town and also where the international airport is located. You can spend a couple of days there. They have sort of an equivalent of Waikiki called Denarau. This is where all their hotels are, or a lot of the hotels on that side. But I prefer going to other places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a couple of days in Nandi is fine. But then you can get to Suva either via a couple of hours on a bus or a taxi or, that motor transport. Or you can take an airplane, 20-minute flight, something like that, to Suva. Spend a couple of days there. There's some wonderful places to stay, great restaurants, museums.
How affordable are there inter-island flights there? Is it like Tahiti?
It's more or less like Tahiti or even Hawaii.
Yeah, because for me, getting from Papeete to Bora Bora, I think that inter-island was like 450 U.S.
No kidding.
Yeah.
See, I have not been to French Polynesia for a while, but see, the nice thing about Fiji, you bring up a very good point, Tom. Mm-hmm. The nice thing about Fiji is that it's a hell of a lot more affordable than French Polynesia.
In all respects? Food?
Yes, all the above.
Mm-hmm.
The CFP, the local currency, the Central Pacific franc, is tied to the euro. Fiji's currency, they have their own currency, and the Yankee dollar goes a long way.
Interesting.
You get a hell of a lot more mileage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you've got to be real prudent in Tahiti. A dinner is, sobering.
Don't get me started. But, the advantage of Fiji is it's a hell of a lot more affordable.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in Fiji, English is the lingua franca.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they have their own Fijian. Bawan is the main Fijian language. There's a bunch of dialects, languages. A great deal of the population is South Asian, so a big Indian population, and they speak a version of Hindi. But everybody speaks English. So it's a former English colony, right? So easy to get around.
That's really cool. So diving, what?
Diving, world-class diving.
Mm-hmm.
some of the destinations I'd recommend that have great diving and other activities, you can fly out of either Suva or Nandi and get to Vanuatu, which is the second largest island. You'd land in a town called Sabu Sabu. And in fact, the Wall Street Journal did a great piece on Sabu Sabu, which surprised the hell out of me. And the thing they liked about it, and that I like about it, is that it's not very touristy. Mm-hmm. It's a real destination.
So you feel like you're immersing in a local community then?
Precisely. Yeah. Precisely. You see school kids walking mm-hmm. back and forth, and the guy's a hardware store, and, you know, this sort of thing. And you can immerse yourself in the culture, and that's the, especially as an English speaker, you bring up, it's a good point. Mm-hmm. You can get into the local culture. They will invite you in, which is a wonderful thing. And so Sabu Sabu is on a gorgeous bay, and there's all kinds of cool things to do, among them diving. We could talk about the attractions, but since you brought up diving, the other destination, diving destination is Taviuni, which is, maybe 20-30 minute boat ride from Vanuatu, where Sabu Sabu is, or you can fly directly mm-hmm. from Suva or Nandi. And that island is kind of untouched. There's not a lot of development. Diving's world class. Rainforest, parrots, flora and fauna.
Any monkeys?
No monkeys, but you know, you brought up something. The interesting thing about Fiji is that back in whatever era, when Fiji was part of Asia, there was part of the Asian landmass, mm-hmm. a lot of the flora and fauna made their way over there, and they're still there. Now, the monkeys didn't get over there.
Mm. Not too late.
I don't know about that.
So give us a geocentric location. Where is it?
Okay.
South Pacific.
Yes,
right?
I will do that. Okay. Visualize flying to Australia. Mm-hmm. I would say 3/4 of the way there, you're in Fiji.
Okay. South of Palau, then.
That is correct. Okay. Well, it would be...
How far to Australia?
Not far.
So it follows that's a very popular destination for Aussie vacation.
You got it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I said, visualize flying, say, LAX or SFO to Australia, mm-hmm. and then 3/4 of the way there, you're in Fiji, so.
Out there by itself, huh?
Well, there's about, I don't know.
Relatively.
Yeah, relatively by itself. I mean, the closest neighbors would be Tonga mm-hmm. to the north and Samoa, et cetera. So it's pretty isolated. Mm-hmm.
Were they involved in World War II?
The Yankees were there. Of course, we were worried about the Japanese expansion, mm-hmm. as you know. And so there were Americans based there. In fact, they built the Nandi International Airport.
Mm-hmm. Same runways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think they had something to do with the airport in Suva as well. Or they had the, what would you call them, the seaplane? The mm-hmm.
float planes? Or
exactly, yes. the big ones. I can't remember the name. Yes, the Americans were there. The Japanese never got there. Mm-hmm. I guess the closest they got was the Solomons to Fiji, mm-hmm. but don't quote me on that. Yeah.
So back to the here and now.
Yes.
Talk about cuisine for a moment.
Cuisine.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, the cuisine is getting better and better all the time in Fiji. Given that it's a former British colony, shall we say it wasn't known for its cuisine? It was kind of lousy when I first got there in 1979. With the exception that because there's a big South Asian population, the Indian food was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's all kinds of... You're in the middle of the ocean, so there's lots of fresh fish. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, things have really improved cuisine-wise. You've got some excellent restaurants, and they're leveraging the local fresh seafood mm-hmm. and all kinds of influences from the Pacific and Asia.
talk about places to stay and the variety of places.
Okay. You've got everything from really expensive, we're talking a grand a night type of places, to...
Those would be international flag hotels?
Correct.
It might be a Marriott or...
Oh, no, we're talking even more luxurious kind of...
St. Regis.
Really expensive type properties. Some boutique. For example, there's a wonderful place in Savu Savu called Tavola, run by an American woman. Yeah, I'd say it's probably in the $500 U.S. a night category or more. But it's wonderful. Small boutique hotel. Or you can stay down the street at a place called Daku Estate, for under 100 U.S. a night.
Are there family-run inns there?
Yes. You can stay at, there's B&Bs. In fact, I was just emailing her today. There's a gal named Roberta Davis, who is originally from Hawaii, and she runs a B&B on Taviuni called Makaira. Small little place, maybe 250 U.S. a night or less, probably less. Wonderful. So, or you could stay at, you know, backpacker type places. Mm-hmm. It was when I wrote the Lonely Planet book, it was really popular with backpackers as well. So you can stay, I mean, you know, that kind of property exists as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
So when you first think of Fiji, what comes to mind?
I think of the people. I think of the feeling I have there, the connection I have there with the people. That's what hits me.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, what have we not touched on that you'd like to share?
Well, we've covered the waterfront pretty well, I guess, when it comes to Fiji. I'm sure there's a ton of stuff, but there's all kinds of islands. I mean, if you dig islands, it's a great place to stay.
Is there an agency or national travel site that would help you?
Yeah, Tourism Fiji, the national, their visitors bureau has, it so happens I have a site.
Really?
Now that you ask, yes. It's called FijiGuide.com. Oh. Kind of forgot about that. Yeah.
So you're the man.
Well, essentially what I did was I took my Lonely Planet book and I turned it into a website many moons ago. And so that's not a bad place to go. But, you know, there's a lot of information out there. As I mentioned, my Suva book's available on Amazon.
There you go.
Exactly.
So, Rob, to learn more about your world.
If you're interested in Fiji, which is what we've been talking about, that would probably be... the best place to go. I mean,
that is the link?
Called Fiji Guide.
Okay, the same one.
The same one.
Yeah.
FijiGuide.com. I do have another site that I'm working on, but it's not quite ready for prime time.
Okay.
So my name is Rob K. K-A-Y.
That's too easy. Rob, thank you so much. I'm so glad we met here in Honolulu, Waikiki.
It's a pleasure, Tom. Thank you for the opportunity.
My honor. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. We'll see you in paradise.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station. Thank you.